From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. I hope you are healthy and safe out there. And this not going too stir crazy in your homes. So today's show, I wanted to focus on a few things. A few points that are, I think, poignant at this time. One is your taxes. We're going to have Pat Noon from PJN Tax Solutions on to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to talk about also small businesses, how they can manage and how they can possibly succeed during this downturn. And we're going to speak with Ron Sandick on that. He's a former House of Representative for Illinois and also former mayor of Downers Grove. But and we're going to also focus, and I'm going to beat you guys upside the head. If you watch me on or listen to me on radio, you watch me on YouTube, or you check out my podcast, I am adamant about informing people about forbearance and what a forbearance is on your mortgage and why you should desperately try to do anything and everything you can and not go down that direction. But what I want to talk about right now is, it was interesting. I did a seminar this weekend or this week. It was on the internet, and they spoke about how people are getting devastated right now. People in their 60s and 70s and 80s who had a big nest egg, that have got that cut in, you know, at least by a third. And a lot of people are devastated right now. They live on that money, and now they're looking back and saying, well, that got wiped out pretty quick. What are some alternatives that I might be able to have? And it was interesting to find out that not one, but several of the analysts, and one is a top analyst, you know, ranked in Forbes magazine as a high-end investor. He brought up the phrase, and I kind of cringed at the time. And he said, you know what, if you're sitting out there on a house that you darn near own free and clear, or only have a small mortgage on it, a reverse mortgage is your best bet to do at this time. And I was like, how does that work? Or why would you want to do that? And then after, you know, I listened to the program, it made complete sense. So I'm going to try to kind of condense this thing into a couple minutes. So when you hear me talk about reverse mortgages, don't turn the dial. It's, you know, a reverse mortgage, let me tell you what it is not. Basically, what most people think is, if you get a reverse mortgage, basically I'm handing my house over to the bank so I can live there at no cost until I pass. That is not a reverse mortgage. Okay, you're not giving your house to the bank. It is basically an FHA. In most cases, it's an FHA mortgage. And you qualify with certain parameters, and you get a loan. In most cases, it's a line of credit that you have on your home. And it's good for life. And you only use it as you need it. You can make payments on it. You don't have to make payments on it. So basically, just think of it as a mortgage. Okay? So you have this house that you own, and it's $500,000, and you owe $20,000. Let's say you don't owe anything on it. Your stock portfolio went from $2 million, now it's $1 million, and you're in. You just turned 70, and you're thinking, I might have 20 more years to live. $1 million bucks, where's that going to get me? And if you start pulling out money there, now you have less and less and less. Once the market will recover, and it will recover. Once the market recovers, let's say you deplete another $100,000 out of that. Now you're down to $900,000. You know, it's got a lot of work to do to start pulling in that cash that you were used to. So what almost all of these analysts, what they recommended is getting a reverse mortgage, using that during the downturn in the stock cycle. So use that to supplement your income until stocks rebound. As it's rebounding, you can do several things. And again, though, you're not depleting that asset any longer. So now you have $1 million that might grow. So let's say at 10% a year, you're getting $100,000. Well, if you start depleting that, you're down to $90,000. 10% return is $90,000. That's $10,000 differential. You might need all of that and more to sustain your lifestyle. So what they're saying is use the equity that you've built up in your house. Most cases, the interest rates are really favorable. And only draw out of it what you need. Do not draw out of your portfolio. And then as your portfolio recovers, you won't need that reverse anymore. So start, you know, as your dividends start to accumulate again, start taking that money and start paying back that reverse mortgage as and if you can. Because you don't want to keep pulling money out of your stock portfolio, because eventually if that goes to zero, now you have no safety net. Now you have to do something. So before you're forced into doing something, do a reverse mortgage. So let me tell you what a reverse mortgage is. And most of this, I've been on attorney shows. I've been on investment shows explaining to a lot of people what exactly is a reverse mortgage. Now, most people think exactly what I just said. It is not. It is not you handing me the deed to your house and saying, Dan, let me stay there until I pass. Let's say you pass next year. Well, I just got a $500,000 house and you got to live there for free 1 year. It doesn't work that way. Here's how it works. You need to be 62 years or older to qualify. Basically, you need to owe less than 50% of your home's value. All right? That's basically the guidelines behind it all. Now it also, there is a part of this that is credit driven as well. So let's say, for example, your credit is good. You can then get we'll set you up on a line of credit. Use it if and when you want to, but it's your safety net. If the stock market starts recovering dramatically right now, don't use it, but you have it as your safety net. So you get it. So think of it as a credit card based on your house. And you only pay interest on the amount you use, all right? So you have great credit. You can go up to like 50, 60% of your home's value, and that would be your line of credit. So that's if you have really good credit. If you don't have really good credit, the worst possible scenario in this is we will set up I'll call it a slush fund in your account that we will pre-fund your real estate taxes and your homeowner's insurance because I'll just be blunt and say it. You have a propensity, it appears on your credit, to not pay your bills. So the only way you can lose your home with a reverse mortgage is basically you didn't pay your real estate taxes or your homeowner's insurance or both. So by us doing this, you're okay. Because we're going to put that money aside, and as the bills come due for your taxes and your homeowner insurance, we're going to pay it out of your account directly. So you don't have to worry about that part of the puzzle. It might take a chunk of change, though, to set up that slush fund. So let's say, for example, you have a $300,000 house. You owe $150,000 on it, or $100,000 on it, or whatever. We can only go 50% of the house's value. The only way you would possibly be denied is there's not enough money or equity in the property for us to set up that slush fund to pay your taxes and insurance as it comes due. So basically, here's what it is in a nutshell, a reverse mortgage. In most cases, it's an FHA mortgage, but it's a line of credit on your house. You can make payments if you'd like to. You do not have to make payments. So what happens if you don't make a payment? Well, let's say on your credit card, let's say you don't make a payment. Scrap the late fees and all the other penalties and you being deemed bad on your credit. All it does is it accumulates the interest that you would have owed. So if, let's say you take out a $100,000 reverse mortgage and each month there's $300 in interest. Well, you can send in the $300. So you owe $100,000. The interest for the month was $300. If you don't send in anything, the next month you owe $100,300. But if you send in the $300, you still only owe the $100,000. So that $100,000, just send in $300 a month, and you'll basically stick or remain at the $100,000 that you owe. Also, you might want to say, you know what? I really need a reverse mortgage. Let's say you just don't qualify for another type of mortgage, but you do qualify for a reverse mortgage. You say, Dan, I want a 15-year or 20-year mortgage, I couldn't qualify for a normal conventional loan or any other kind of loan, but I can get you approved for a reverse mortgage. What I'll do is I'll set up an amortization schedule and say, Mr. Jones, if you make X payment per month for the next umpteen years, your loan will be paid off. And then now, and again, we normally set you up on an equity line. You have the full line open to you to use if and when you need it. But if you don't use it, you don't have any interest accumulating. But you always have that set-aside account for a rainy day, or if the market crashes again, or, you know, in case that you just need some help or some bailouts. So that's my segment for, you know, and it was interesting to me in regards to reverse mortgages. This might not pertain to many of you out there, but I think you'd be surprised. You probably have a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, a mom, a dad, somebody that's struggling right now, or they're losing a ton of money. This is huge in California right now. We're getting a ton of people calling in saying, you know, I just went to a financial class and they stressed that we look into a reverse mortgage. Can you help? And we're helping hundreds of them. So it was interesting. That's why I was on that conference call. So if I can be of any help to you, even just to explain the facts and do you qualify or not for a reverse mortgage, give us a call. The best way to get me is 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-LOAN. You can always email me too, and just email me my account. I respond to every email. It's D Frio, and Frio is FRIO. So dfrio@preferredrate.com. But what I'd highly suggest you do is check out the website. It's thefrioteam.com. Just go there. You can fill out, go to the top right section. If there's an apply now button, click that in, put as much information as you can. Please make sure you put in your name, at least your name, phone number, and email address, so I can reach out to you and get a hold of you. And it's not a hard sales pitch. Basically, I'll answer any questions I can, and I'll help in any way I can. I promise. So God bless. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ron Sandick talking about how small businesses can get through this coronavirus pandemic. So God bless. We'll be right back.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. Today, we have a special guest. He's former Illinois House Representative and also former mayor of Downers Grove, Ron Sandick. And we're going to talk small businesses and also his take on the forbearance agreement. Because, like I said, I'm going to pound you guys upside the head for the next month in regards to forbearance agreements and why you need to get a second opinion or maybe legal advice. So, hey, Ron.
I'm at work. I'm essential.
Same here. I could show you around. We're having a tough time. No investors want to take the loans. We're servicing stuff now because you can't get a servicer because they're like, okay, you do the loan today. They don't go back to work next month. They filed the forbearance. We're not now getting a mortgage payment for like 6 months. And it's just like, it's a bond, basically. It's an investment. You know, so how do you pay the dividends on the MBS markets? So it's most people are just, oh, we'll give you free rent or you don't have to pay this. There's so much ramifications in the background that nobody, 99% of people don't get, especially the politicians. They just want to sound good that, hey, I worked for you to skip three mortgage payments. Well, you know, it had more effect than you think it's doing.
Well, and I think that you're exactly right, Dan, which kind of begs the question on some of these, you know, other economic ramifications for all this short-term fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants decisions that are happening because they reverberate throughout the economy. Yeah. And they have effect. And, you know, today 25 million people are out of work.
Yeah.
It's staggering.
Yeah.
The ramifications for some of these short-term decisions elongate throughout our economy. And I think politicians are trying to react rather than think through some of their policy decisions. And whenever you just react, you're going to have unforeseen consequences. And I think some bad outcomes, which are occurring.
Yeah. What's crazy is, you know, a $6 trillion stimulus package, the money just doesn't get printed. Well, it kind of does. At some point, it has to be, you know, paid. It's like the Illinois pension funds. You know, it's just kick the can. Just kick it, kick it, kick it. How far can you kick this thing?
You know what's fascinating, Dan, is, and I've been talking to clients, friends, family. it's instructive for me to remind folks, if we're talking in the federal lane, while they aren't supposed to be just printing dollars, but given the amount of the ridiculous spending that's occurring, checks coming in the mail right now, yeah, checks going to businesses, clearly the government is engaging in massive deficit spending, but the federal government can continue to do that almost ad infinitum.
Oh,
but
yeah,
what's significant is the state cannot. So when you talk about the state pensions or municipal pensions, it becomes really far more realistic and problematic, because there is no doubt that prior to COVID-19, the state of Illinois was teetering on the abyss of insolvency. Many municipalities were right there. Now, I'm going to guess that more than 50% of Illinois municipalities are upside down, with significant numbers of that 50% probably technically bankrupt, meaning their liabilities vastly exceed their assets. The state of Illinois is right there. And when you said pensions, they all took a huge haircut over the last month. I know, for instance, there are municipal pension funds that are 7, 8, 9% funded, meaning they've got less than a year to cut checks before checks will bounce or they have to sell assets. There is one fund that I'm dying to see the state of Illinois advise us about, which is the General Assembly Retirement Fund, GARS. It's the legislators' pension fund. It was 15% funded last year. My guess is it's 12, maybe 11% funded now. When that thing tanks, and it will, it's only a matter of time, it will be interesting to see what the legislators and the politicians in Springfield do, because it'll be their predecessors who are screaming and yelling.
So what would you say is the resolution to it? Because you can't, I think when we, on your last show, you were talking about the municipalities can file bankruptcy, right? But the state can't.
Right? Municipalities technically can. You okay. are correct, Dan. But the state of Illinois has to allow them to.
Okay.
Chapter 9 of the bankruptcy code is a municipal or local unit of government bankruptcy provision. But basically, the state needs to pass a law that says, from here on out, our municipalities are permitted to avail themselves of Chapter 9. If the state does that, then municipalities absolutely can file bankruptcy. It's not the traditional bankruptcy that you and I talk about. There's no going out of business sale. You don't throw the keys to the town across to a group of creditors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a place where bondholders, vendors, pensioners, employees, and everyone is in one venue or locale to address, adjust, and fix how a municipality can move forward.
Got it.
And Detroit, for instance, is the right. last example of a municipal bankruptcy up in Michigan. So to answer your question, Dan, the only way out for municipalities in Illinois will be to permit Chapter 9 for those towns. Now, for the state, it's going to be a bailout, man. The state needs federal money to just make itself sustainable for the short term, let alone long term. In the absence of some kind of bailout, ain't happening.
You can't just, and maybe they will, just throw money at it. That's how most government stuff works. So let's say they go to the federal government and they say, you know what, we can't fund anything. If you were to go into a company and take it over because of they were defaulting, you would go in and you'd change management. You'd go in and restructure this. You'd restructure payroll, restructure 401ks, restructure this. What would the Fed do?
It's a really good question. The most instructive example of that would be the PROMESA Act, PROMESA, which the Obama administration permitted for Puerto Rico. PROMESA was a quasi-bankruptcy, special bankruptcy for the island because it was literally bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it is not really address some of the fundamental problems the island has. And of course, there's been some natural horrific hurricanes and disasters that have occurred that made things even worse. But PROMESA was an example of what the feds could do. Now, your fundamental point is absolutely right on the mark, Dan. In the absence of some reform, in the absence of some financial sensibility, for some real change in the way Illinois does business and accounts for itself. Throwing money at the state of Illinois is like what? Giving your teenage kid whiskey and the car keys and say, go, right?
Right.
It's just a disaster you know that's going to occur. So to me, if Trump is reelected and this bailout request occurs when he's still the president, I think there's some reason to believe that any type of bailout would require significant, meaningful reform. If Trump is not the president, and if the Democrats have full reign in Washington come 2021, it could look entirely different. Maybe it's just a giveaway. I don't know. Your guess, Dan, is as good as mine. That would be politics over sound policy and financial sensibility, unfortunately.
Yeah. So how's your business? Tell everybody what you do.
So, well, what I do nowadays is I represent, Dan, the most endangered of species right now, and that's small business.
Cool.
So, yeah. So we represent, Guido & Finson represents mom and pops to middle market companies, some for-profit. Occasionally we'll have some non-for-profits out there, and we help guide them, you know, in their infancy. We'll help structure them. We'll help do their buy-sell agreements, operating agreement, employment agreements, contracts with vendors, and then invariably we'll defend them when they're sued, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what we do in America. We're litigious people, and so that's what we do. And in the environment we find ourselves in, small business is really the most, you know,
devastated,
endangered, frankly. So there's, you know, the retail clients we have, and I have a handful, are in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Because many of them, in some way, shape, or form, have been told to shut down operations,
right,
and, you know, no longer conduct business. So they have furloughed or laid off their employees. In no small part, that has caused some of the, you know, unemployment you and I have talked about.
Right.
So they're hanging by a thread in that industry. I have others in service businesses that are better off, but, you know, as we talked, you know, everyone's connected. So irrespective of the business you're in, you're dealing with someone that's been either fully decimated or partially decimated or is preparing to be decimated. So everyone's in the slow pay or no pay category, right?
Yeah.
You can't squeeze blood from a turnip. So you're providing a service, but your customer is unable to pay. Not because they don't want to. It's because their customer or their supplier or their vendor is damaged and hurt and unable to pay. So we're seeing this throughout our economy, and it's just so troubling.
Well, tell everybody, if you're a small business out there and need some help, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, they can get a hold of me a million ways. R-Sandak, R-S-A-N-D-A-C-K at gmail.com or at Ronald, that's my full name, at Guido, G-A-I-D-O, dash Finson, F-I-N-T-Z-E-N.com. Guido and Finson, we have an office down at 30 North LaSalle in Chicago and out in St. Charles, beautiful St. Charles, Illinois. Yeah, we love small business. That's what we live to do and help and assist, protect and defend. And if we can, we'll do so. Our phone number is 312-853. Oh, my God, I almost gave the wrong number. Hang on. I'll try that again. you know what sucks? I always give my cell number out, and I forget our work number. Actually, I'll give my cell number, 312-371-2516, Dan. The best way to reach me.
Do you have the other number handy?
So all right, hold on. 312-346-7855.
You the man. All righty. God bless you, brother. I greatly appreciate it. Thanks for doing what you're doing, and I appreciate you being on with us.
Always a pleasure, Dan.
Take care.
Good. Be safe.
All right, man. Be healthy.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. This is Dan Frio. Today, I have a couple special guests. One of the ones kind of coming up on the future segment is Pat Noon. Pat is our IRS professional, and he's the one that gets the IRS off your ASS. But in what we're going to talk about now and with Pat is forbearance, what it means and what you should probably do in lieu of forbearance. Let me explain what a forbearance does for you. This is a lot of misconceptions, so I want to take as much time as I can to explain this to you, and I'm trying to beat people upside the head every night on radio, every night on YouTube, my podcast, everything that I do. I'm trying to say, you know what, please, please, please look into the specific details before you do anything. Here is why. Basically, forbearance, what it isn't, is a mortgage modification. It isn't allowing you to skip payments, just avoid making payments. It isn't a where they'll take your balances like they do on a lot of student loans, like Nelnet. They'll take your, you know, if you miss 2, 3, 4 months payments, they'll throw it on the back end of the loan and saying, okay, after your whole term is done, you still owe us that amount. Those are what it is not. What it is basically kicking the can down the street for a few months. So here's how it works in most cases. I validated this. I've had probably 50 clients of mine send me in their letters validating this. And then our tax expert, Pat Noon, is going to validate it for us as well. So here's what's happening on CNBC and all the news channels and everywhere else that you see and read. It's saying, you know, the forbearance is great. Just call up your lender and they'll allow you to skip 3 months of mortgage payments. Not necessarily skip. So let's explain it. So what they're saying is, okay, you don't have to make or don't make this month's payment. Okay. Don't make next month's payment. And you know what? Don't make the following month's payment. So that's three payments that you didn't have to make during that time frame. However, on the fourth month, you have to make all four payments. You have to bring yourself current. Now, you might have the money at that time, but if you can't pay it now, you're probably not going to be able to afford it 4 months down the road. So an example is, let's say this month, let's say your mortgage payment's $2,000. So you don't pay this month. You don't pay next month. You don't pay the following month. That totals $6,000. The following month, you owe your mortgage payment of $2,000. They want your $2,000 plus the $6,000 from before. $8,000. How? If you can't pay it now, your unemployment benefits aren't going to cover it. Your stimulus check might cover a piece of it. It's going to basically put food on your table for the time being. So here's what I'm seeking or I'm pleading to people to do. You can call your lender if that's what you want to do, and you're going to wait on the hold for about probably on average an hour and a half. I'm just going to say that. I've personally done it, and I'm going to have Pat on here in the coming segment to kind of give you his experience. So you're going to be on hold for about an hour and a half. Expect that. Okay, and then they're going to tell you, they're going to come back and they're probably going to be very vague with you. And every conversation I had with every client that I had was this, you know, you can, you know, you don't have to make the payment and then, you know, for the next 2 or 3 months. And then after that, you're going to have some options. The options scare me because basically they can't concretely tell you here's exactly what's going to happen. Okay. So some of the people that I spoke with and my lender said, you know what, we can't really help you because you're current on your mortgage. Now, once you go over 30 days late, now we can start working with you. Here's the problem that you face. Once you go 30 days late, you can't refinance. Okay, you can't refinance, basically. You might have a slight chance of refinancing, but in most cases, you can't have any delinquency in the last 6 months. That's one. And then after that point, you know, you probably aren't going to have the money to bring yourself current. Then they say, well, you know, we could possibly divvy up those three payments, divide it by X amount, add it to your new current mortgage and all that other stuff. So there's a bunch of fuzzy math in this equation. Here's what I'm trying to ask people to do, and it won't hurt at all. Before you go late, please reach out to me. Let's see if we can refinance you. Here's why. Rates are at a historic low. Historically, in probably 99.9% of the cases, people calling in, we're getting you a lower rate than you have now. So let's just entertain the fact that, okay, let's refinance you. Maybe even keep the same term you have. I've been in my house for 5 years, so I want a 25-year term. Okay, we'll do a 25-year term. most cases, we're going to get you a lower rate. So we keep your term the same, or you can extend it back out if you want. I don't, and I'll explain to you why that might not be a bad option to do, especially right now. So we do a 25-year term. We reduce your rate because rates have never been this low. And if you have a lower rate than I can get you, don't do it. But what it'll do for you is it'll allow you, we'll structure your loan so you truly, truly will skip two payments. You won't have to make it. And then when you do have to make that your first payment, it'll be a reduced amount because you got a lower rate. Okay, maybe it isn't a reduced amount. You're just saying, you know, I'm comfortable with the payment I was paying. I can't pay it for a month or two because I'm not working. But that payment was, you know, was comfortable. I might be able to restructure you from you had 25 years left to a 20-year term. We're doing a ton of that as well. And keep the payment the same. You skip 2 months' payments. And then when it comes back, you have the same payment you did before, but you're cutting off 5 years' term on your loan. Okay, that's one option. The one, I just posted a YouTube video just the other day, and it was, before you do forbearance, here are two loan packages that are quick and easy to refinance. And those are FHA and VA. Okay. FHA and VA right now, as long as you have a 640 credit score, you have no lates in the last 6 months, and you could have been late one time in the last 12 months, just 30 days past due. Okay. If you have an FHA or VA loan, I can redo that loan without validating your job or income and without an appraisal. Okay. Here's the people that combat this are saying, okay, now you guys are doing those stupid loans again that you did years ago and put everybody in jeopardy, basically in the world because of doing bad loans. No, it's not a bad loan. Basically, we're saying, and you just heard the guidelines, you need a 640 credit score. That's good credit. You basically couldn't have missed any mortgage payments in the last year. So you're making your payments on time. So if you're making that payment on time, and I'm refinancing you to a lower rate, thus it'll give you a lower payment, why would you not be able to make that payment? So that's why the guidelines are, and these are government guaranteed loans, they're saying that as long as you meet those criteria, I can refinance you. The going rate as of the end of the week on government loans, which is FHA and VA, with a 640 credit score and no lates, we're getting rates at 2.875 on a 30-year fixed, APR 3.621. Okay, so 2.875 on a 30-year fixed for an FHA and VA loan. I can almost guarantee you or assure you that you do not have a 2.875% rate now. I forgot to say there is one more caveat to this. So you have the 640 credit score, basically no late pays in the last 12 months. You could have one, but it has to be over 6 months ago. Those are the two pieces of the puzzle. The last piece of the puzzle, I have to reduce your rate by over 0.5%, or I'll rephrase that, 0.5% or more. In most cases, you probably, even if you got the best, lowest rate ever previously, you're probably at 3.5 or higher on a 30-year fixed. At a rate at 2.875 today, that is over 50 basis points or 0.5% more than you currently have. So again, 640, no late pays in the last year, and reduce your rate by 0.5%. You should be able to qualify for this loan. So reach out to me. I'd love to help. Go to the web. It's thefrioteam.com. Frio is F-R-I-O. Thefrioteam.com. If you would, if you're interested, go to the page. At the top right, there it says apply now. When you put in your information, please put in everything. I get so many people that don't put in their phone number or their email address, or, you know, I need all of that information to be able to try to help you. I'll reach out to you in almost all cases. I'll reach out to you personally and just go over and kind of pick your brain and say, you know, what are we looking to do? Where are you at? What's your goal here? So that's that piece of those are the easy, simple refinance programs, FHA and VA. Okay. Here's what a lot of people might be looking to do. This is an alternative to, again, the forbearance agreement, is refinance the loan. And you might have, or in, if you're like most right now to get through this, you're waiting for your unemployment checks, you're waiting for the stimulus packages, you're waiting for everything else. You're most likely running up some credit card debt to put food on the table. So what we might look to do is let's refinance your house and pay off that debt. That debt, probably check your credit card statements. Your rate on the credit card is probably 20% at least. I'll say 18% or more. And I can almost assure you on that one. So do you refinance and get a mortgage in the high threes, low fours? Or do you pay a 20% credit card? So then the next question is, well, Dan, I don't want to, you know, put my credit card on my mortgage and have to pay it for 30 years. Don't. The goal isn't to do a 30-year term if you don't have to. Only do a 30-year term if you really need to. You don't plan on staying there long or some other alternative. That will give you the lowest payment. But, you know, you can always prepay your mortgage. So if you can afford to send in an extra $50, $60, $100, $200, please do. It'll cut so much off of your term. It's amazing how much you would cut off in interest over the life of the loan. So when we come back, I'm going to have a special guest, Pat Noon. He's our IRS expert. He's going to tell us about the tax laws that are changing, when your taxes are due, and also his experience asking for a forbearance agreement. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. This is Dan Frio. And this past week was tax time, and most of us didn't file our taxes. So I asked a friend of mine, Pat Noon of PJN Tax Solutions, to come on and give us some parameters on when now we need to file, what changes might have took effect in the past year. And then the last thing is, for those of us that procrastinate even procrastinate through July, if we find an extension, how much further out do we have? So welcome, Pat. Great having you, buddy.
Hey, Dan. How are you? Nice to be here.
So for the new people out there, Pat's a tax advisor. Give them a little bit of your bio so they can, and if they need you, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. A little bit of personal bio is born and raised in Elmwood Park. Graduated from DePaul University, downtown Chicago in 81. Passed the CPA exam in 83. So it's been about 40 years now. I've been doing this tax and accounting gig and starting to get the hang of it.
Yeah.
But what I've specialized in the last 5-6 years is tax resolution work. Obviously, during tax season, we do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of returns. But throughout the entire year, we do tax resolution work, whereby our tagline is the rescue squad for troubled taxpayers.
No. What's your tagline?
Want the IRS off of your ASS? Give us a call.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, but to go back to what you were saying in the beginning, initially the IRS extended the payment deadline to July 15th.
Okay.
But they left the filing deadline itself on April 15th, but they said you can have until July 15th to pay. Well, that just totally messed up everybody, confused them. So a little while later they said, okay, we're going to make the filing deadline and the payment deadline the same, July 15th.
Okay.
And when they did that, they said, hey, by the way, typically when you're an individual that makes estimated tax payments, the payment dates are April 15, July or June 15, September 15, and January 15 of the next year.
Yeah.
So when they extended the filing deadline and the payment deadline from April 15 to July 15, they said, tell you what, we won't even look for that first estimated payment until July 15th as well.
Got it.
But oh, by the way, guys, the second installment is due June 15th, which comes before July 15th. So, you know, it's like the first installment is now the second. The second is now the first. It's something they're going to have to address, because if you think just changing the filing and payment deadlines was confusing, wait till this hits the fan.
Yeah. So any tax changes that we should be aware of?
In filing of your 2019 return?
Yeah.
Yeah, they bumped up the standard deduction. They bumped that up a little bit. It's not as crazy, the changes, as the year before.
Okay.
They're very subtle. There was a change in the standard mileage rate. I believe it went from 54 cents in 18 to 58 in 19. pretty much everything, you know, all the big changes happened the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, this coronavirus is taking, you know, everybody's taking a hit. Even the IRS is closed right now. You can't get a hold of anybody there.
Well, that's
you
on the mortgage.
You try calling and nobody answers.
Yeah, on the mortgage side of things, we had to make a lot of changes. People don't realize in the mortgage side, we rely on stuff from the IRS as well. Your tax transcripts. We do that periodically just to test for fraud.
Right. It's the 4506T form that you fill out. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But you can't get transcripts right now because there's nobody there to get them from.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be quite a while before you see things going back to normal. Earlier in 2019, when the government was shut down for a few weeks, like 3 weeks, the IRS was closed.
Yeah.
It took them forever to get back up to speed. Well, they've been closed a lot longer than that now. So I think it's going to be a long time before anything gets back to normal with them.
Got it. What are you seeing from a lot of the small business owners that you deal with? Devastation?
Across the board. I have another CPA colleague of mine here in St. Charles. He has a lot of restaurant clients that he specializes in. And he said most of those restaurants won't even reopen.
Really?
Yeah. The PPP program, that payroll protection program, sponsored by the SBA, they're out of money. And they're trying to get another $250 billion approved. Of course, Trump blames the Democrats. Democrats blame the Republicans. But right now, the small business owner is caught in the switches, and there's nothing he can do, you know.
Yeah.
And it has been. It's been brutal. Even that EIDL loan, it stands for Economic Injury Disaster Loan. If you filled out that application before April 4th, you have to redo it because they changed the application and the original application is no longer valid.
So they add one extra question, postpone everything, put everybody off, and then that's normal. Yeah. They made it sound way too easy. It's like we made $6 trillion available. We're going to ship you your checks, and anybody that needs help with their small business, you know, just let us know and we'll help. I knew was going to be so much red tape and so much.
Yeah, three days after you fill out the application, the money was supposed to be in your account.
Yeah.
The grant. That hasn't happened.
Got it.
And as far as the stimulus goes for individuals, if you're going to get a refund and you gave the IRS your banking information, routing number, and account number, most of my clients yesterday received their stimulus check. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great for those people. But what about people like myself, where I have a small balance due intentionally every year? I'd rather owe them a little bit than them owe me.
Sure.
And I just put a check in with my return. In other words, they don't have my banking information.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new link on the IRS.gov website that says get my payment. And that is for people like myself who file every year, but also have a balance due. They don't have a refund coming. And then therefore the IRS doesn't have any of my banking information.
That's great information. So if the IRS doesn't have your information,
go to IRS.gov.
I know that.
And on the homepage, on the right-hand side, at the top is a link called Get My Payment. And then the next page, again, you click on the link, Get My Payment. And you have to enter in your Social Security number, your date of birth, the address on the last return. And if you get through that hurdle, then the next hurdle, they'll ask you some information about if it was 2018, the last return you filed, they'll ask you some information about that. That nobody else will know.
Okay.
Or 19, depending upon what year you're going with. If you previously filed and you asked for a direct deposit of your refund, then they have your banking information.
That's scary, though. With everybody getting hacked, especially the IRS and everything else, it's scary to have them have direct access to your bank account. Okay, the next question. Give us we had a conversation the other day. I tried to call my mortgage company for the forbearance. Basically, I like doing YouTube videos to explain to people, you know, here's what's happening behind the scenes. It's not as glamorous as it seems. Like, oh, you just skip mortgage payments. And I knew because I'm in the mortgage business, I know the ramifications of it because it's devastating mortgage companies right now. So you, as a completely third party, what was your, walk us through kind of what you did and what happened?
Well, two things. First of all, a client of mine has his automobile loan with Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y.
Yep.
And he said, hey, give them a call, and they will grant you an immediate, you know, four-month deferral with no questions asked. And what's nice about what they'll do is they'll take those four car payments and they'll move them all the way to the back of the loan.
Okay.
So you're in the loan for 4 months longer than you thought. No big deal.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal. You probably won't even have the car then.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But at least they take those four payments and they move them all the way to the back of the line. Okay. it's not the same with the mortgages. First of all, it took about 3 days to get through to my mortgage servicer or my mortgage company. And they, I didn't hear from them. So I said, fine, you know, I'm just going to put the payment in the mail, which I did. And sure enough, the day after, I get a letter saying, hey, congratulations, you know, you qualify for a 90-day mortgage forbearance. A lot of people think mortgage forbearance means mortgage forgiveness. It does not. Okay. Be careful about that. Forbearance is not the same as forgiveness. You know? So I called them and I had a few questions for them. Well, first of all, the letter that I received in the mail said that even though you qualify for the forbearance, we are still going to report you as delinquent to the credit reporting agencies.
Okay.
I'm like, well, that's crazy. Why would I want to do that? You know, and see my credit score, you know, just get drilled lower. And, so then I finally got through to them. I called them. I said, okay, let's say I take your offer of a 90-day forbearance. What happens on day 91? And they said, well, one of two things. Number one, we can demand that you pay us all the back payments immediately in full on day 91, which would be the equivalent of actually four monthly payments, the 90 days that they let me slide on plus the current. Okay.
Right.
And then they said, or we could possibly, you know, renegotiate with you some type of repayment plan on those 3 months of mortgage payments that were deferred. But we don't have to if we don't want to.
Right. I'm like, the key word, we could possibly. So do you want to be at their mercy because they might possibly help you?
Right. And if they don't and you can't make all 4 months worth of payments, you know, if it's a $2,000 monthly payment, then they can start foreclosure proceedings.
Yep, exactly. And that's so many people are going to miss that fine print or not ask that question. Right. And then they're going to find out 4 months from now. It's like, because if you can't make the mortgage payment now, you're not going to be able to make four mortgage payments in 4 months from now. Guys, please, there's alternatives. And I know you're in a bad spot, but let's try something to help. So I appreciate you coming on. So if somebody wants to reach out to you for help, advice, guidance, whatever, how do they get you?
My cell phone, which is with me all the time, cell phone is 630-415-5296. Again, 630-415-5296. Try to call before 8 p.m. because the big boss at home doesn't like it when I'm on the phone after 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And the website is pjntaxsolutions.com.
Awesome. God bless you, brother. Sure. Great having you.
All right.
I'll see you next time. Take care. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or online at thefrioteam.com.